CVS is your one-stop shop for immunity support and more. This week, select Mucinex and Delsym cold relief products are $15.99. Visit CVS or CVS.com today. Restrictions apply. See CVS.com/weeklyad for details. CVS is your one-stop shop for immunity support and more. This week, select Mucinex and Delsym cold relief products are $15.99. Visit CVS or CVS.com today. Restrictions apply. See CVS.com/weeklyad for details.
Need an extra hand with dinner? Just ask your connected home device to fill your pasta pot, and Delta Faucet Voice IQ technology will fill it with the perfect amount of water. Visit DeltaFaucet.com/voiceIQ to discover more. Between prepping ingredients, setting the table, and planning your tomorrow, sometimes you need an extra hand with dinner. Delta Faucet is here to help. Just ask your connected home device to fill your pasta pot with Delta Faucet Voice IQ technology and fill it with the perfect amount of water. Done. Visit DeltaFaucet.com/voiceIQ to see how Voice IQ can fill your dog's bowl, wash your hands, and more.
Can't find a playlist for your unique taste? With two different mobile apps, TD Ameritrade makes sure that doesn't happen when you invest. Check out TD Ameritrade Mobile and thinkorswim Mobile to find the app that's right for you. Member SIPC.
One of these teams will have won a great World Series. Strike one on Willy Adames. I don't think I've ever done a Major League Baseball game and not thought of my dad. But it's impossible to not think of the 92-year-old Vin Scully, the greatest to ever do it. Started with the Dodgers in 1950, retired 4 years ago. That is strike two. 67 years of his life he poured into the Dodger organization, and you know he's watching and rooting. Ownership. Andrew Friedman, Dave Roberts. That's it, strike three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. That audio is courtesy of Fox Sports and Major League Baseball, and you heard it. That was the final out of the 2020 World Series. The Los Angeles Dodgers finally sealing the deal in their third World Series appearance in 4 years, and I have them back on the program to talk just briefly about the 2020 Dodgers season and some other things that are going to be coming up. We want to welcome him back to the program. He's the official DJ for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Let's welcome DJ Sevier. Hey, Sevier, welcome back, my man.
Good to be here. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be back on the program. So let's jump right to it, man. The 2020 has been a hellacious year, but however, a bright spot was not only the Los Angeles have a title with the Lakers, but also the Dodgers win it all. They wind up winning the World Series. Before we talk about the World Series, I know kind of following you off and on social media, I see that you know, you had to apply with the protocol and things of that nature. But just tell the listeners out there, what adjustments did you have to make in terms of just adapting to the circumstances during the 2020 season?
Oh, wow. It was major. It was just a major mind adjustment at first, trying to get ready and know what you're going into and the different protocols we had. We had to be tested every week for one. So I was tested. I was tested times, whether we had games or not. The protocols at the stadium were changed. We could only use certain elevators. We could only use certain entrances. We had to check our, obviously there's an app we had to use to answer the necessary COVID questions on a daily basis just to go into the stadium. And it's almost just touch and go every day. There was a crew of about 12 of us. So it wasn't our whole crew. It was a minimal crew with just those that were necessarily needed. And just that adjustment of not knowing from day to day what the person next to you is, have what they've been around. So it was touch and go, but I mean, we kind of got through it. No instances, no cases. So we made it through pretty good. So overall, MLB and the Dodgers ownership did a real good job at producing a safe environment for us to work in.
That's wonderful to hear because, again, you know, this thing is, as this interview was airing, this is still a novel thing. This is still something new in the midst of this pandemic, so a lot of things are continuing to be put in place, and it's good that you and, of course, Major League Baseball and Dodger employees, for the most part, were protected. I want to stay with fans. We know that Major League Baseball took a hit financially this year, and of course, you being the DJ for one of the premier, not just baseball organizations, but premier franchises in all of sports. Your job as the DJ is to hype up the crowd and make the players feel right at home and get them hyped up. How did you come into this with the current circumstances?
Well, you know what? I just kind of had to sit back and marinate it on a bit and try to figure out what I could do to make it as normal as possible without knowing how normal it was going to be. So I took my regular formula that I did and just said, I'm going with my regular ideas, get my new music together, step into the stadium, and then go from there and then see what our show was like, because there was a lot more needed from me, because we stopped showing videos because there was no fans in the stands to see videos. And I wanted to see just how more prevalent my job would play through TV and what it would mean first and foremost to the players. So I was trying to ensure them that they had the same feel and the same energy. And that was given my kudos. I was given my kudos right away when Dave Roberts mentioned how good it was to have me back in the stadium when we first started off. So I knew that they were really looking for that. My communication with them was limited because normally I have one-on-one communication. I can go down to the dugout anytime. That was off limits because they are now sort of quarantined from us. So I depended most on phone conversations, emails. Lots of times me and the players would run into each other at stoplights, leaving the stadium, and we'd pull over real quick and have a couple conversations. And then as the season progressed, the fans started to tweet me, because I'm very interactive with my fans, especially on Twitter and Instagram during the game. And they started to give me indications as what they were hearing. So I knew then it translated over to TV, and that even also made my job even more enhanced, because now I felt even more obligation to the fans at home, because they kept making comments about, thank you for doing this, because we feel like we're right at the game.
Rightfully so. Again, when the last time I had you on the show, we talked about the connection between music and sports and fans. And definitely, music has been it always remains a unifier in tough times, especially the ones that we're currently in right now. Let's stay with music for a moment. Last time I had you on, I asked you about specific players and their taste and things of that nature. Did you keep it the same with the community, with the conversation that you had with the players, or did you tweak some things a little bit? You know, especially getting towards the postseason run.
You know, a lot of what I did this time around was I just kept in communication with them about just keeping their spirits up. Like, I would text Edwin Rios pretty much every homestand. I was in communication with AJ Pollock. And I kind of let the players kind of fill it out how they wanted to do it. So with it being such a strange season, I was just trying to go off of their flow. And more so just kind of check in on them and then make sure everything was going okay with them and how everything sounded. It was such a weird environment for them, I'm sure, with doing all their interviews via Zoom or the way things were going. So I kind of just tried to keep it light. And when I saw them, like at stoplights, I run into several players just on the same streets leaving the stadium because they would leave about the same time. And just getting the head nod, them giving me a pound or whatever, or air pound, you know, just – the only really conversation I had was with Cody Bellinger for a couple of minutes outside, because he switched his songs, and we ran into each other ironically maybe 3 or 4 times at a light, and we were discussing music that way. Everybody else just kind of kept it the same and simple this year. There wasn't a lot of changes, and I just kind of kept my communication to let them know that I was there, and if they needed anything, just reach out however you reach out. And those that already had my personal information, they would reach out to me and say, good job. But it was really nice just to be able to give them a pat on the back and then check in on them, see how they're doing, and wish them luck. That was kind of what this season was.
Rightfully so, and you did a good job on that one. And let's move further into the season with the postseason run that the Dodgers had. This was, again, as I stated earlier, their third World Series appearance in 4 years. Did you have an opportunity to make the trip to Arlington, or were you still in the Los Angeles area?
You know, it was funny because as soon as postseason hit, the energy was there, and it was kind of bittersweet because we knew we'd have our wild card round. So we had our wild card round. Great atmosphere to be in. And then all of a sudden, after that, I'm assigned to play music for the A's and the Astros for the ALCS. So now you have the Astros coming to the town, which everybody at Dodger Stadium hates, and the A's. So now I'm forced to play music for the Astros for their home games and vice versa for the A's for their home games. So that was totally a different environment for everybody at Dodger Stadium to actually play for the Astros, who we know the scandal, so I'm not giving up any information on how they cheated us out of our World Series or how they cheated in the World Series. So it was very – that was really different to have to play music assigned to them and create their winning atmosphere for them, because I'm actually technically was working for them and working for the Astros. And then to have to watch my team play games in Texas and be prepared – I basically sent all my tracks of what I do over to the DJ in Texas. His name was Michael Moody. Really good dude. I sent him all my things, and we were in conversation back and forth. It was really bittersweet to actually see them do it, but I was still a part of it. And actually, the day before the World Series started, I got a text message from my boss that was asking me if he could get me to Texas the next day. Was I available to go? And first thing, I said was yes. But because of the protocols in place, it was squashed by MLB, so I didn't get a chance to make the trip. And one of the comments I heard was, in order for it to be a true home field advantage, that management wanted their DJ there, being me. But it never came to fruition. I just got the opportunity to send my music over, and it was actually – I actually got more publicity here. I was on the news out here twice, basically talking about the music. And the DJ there got so much kudos for the different sounding music that it actually gave me even more promotion.
Oh, yeah, that's always good to hear. Nothing like a extra promotion right there, kind of like a even right. Trade-off right there. I want to stay with the ALDS for a moment because, again, of course, that series was split between Petco Park in San Diego and, of course, Dodger Stadium in L.A. When you were DJing for the A's and the Astros, did you get any instructions from their DJs or maybe like someone like in a media relations department about songs they like, or did they just give you freedom to do what you do?
No, it was basically scripted. They sent their PRs, both their PRs sent us their walk-up songs and their pregame music. So they gave me ideas. We just went off of pretty much their show. We got all their videos. And it was pretty much their show that they run in their prospective arenas. So they gave us everything. We had a script every day that we followed, and we just followed it to a T, like we were actually working for them. They submitted everything, all the music from point A to point B. It was selected by them. We added none of our own. We just gave them their show. And we did a good job because we actually got commended by both teams on the job we did.
Awesome. Great to hear. Now, I want to ask you, where were you when you found out that the Dodgers had won the World Series?
I was in my studio, and we were watching the game, of course, anxiously. And I had my team around me, my management team, my sound man, and my brother, of course, and some of my family members, and we just watched it in the studio from one out to the next. Just kind of couldn't believe how it was rolling out, but in my heart of hearts, I knew we were going to win it no matter how bad or how crazy it looked and the different ups and downs the roller coaster took. But just to see it finally done, I think I had a couple of different feelings. It was elation, and then it was kind of like sadness that I wasn't there to celebrate, because just even before that day, I had to send off added championship music that we wanted to play, and management wanted to make sure that I sent the right music over. So it was bittersweet, but I mean, I will say it was more sweet than bitter.
Yeah, it definitely is more sweet than bitter. I mean, three World Series appearances in 4 years. They had to get it done this year. This was the opportunity, and they definitely did it in a tough series ending in six games. I want to stay with the World Series for a moment. We talked about Mookie Betts, and you talked about you have conversations with him from time to time. Did you have an opportunity to talk to him either during the run or immediately after the World Series?
No, actually, I got a couple messages to him through his people, because while they were on the road, I did some foundation gigs, food, and sending messages back and forth and just telling them thanks, and they were telling me he was doing good, and just a couple shout-outs. And then I wanted to make sure with each and everybody there that they had the right songs and the element was played. So at least if I could relay it back to the DJ to improve or make improvements. But for the most part, everything was kind of like through their people. But I did have a couple conversations with him, and he's such a great person already in the city, and his just presence is so felt in the city. There's nothing but 50 jerseys around here right now.
Yeah, man, Mookie definitely made a big difference when he came to L.A., and definitely he made his presence was felt in this postseason run. I want to stay with players and music for a moment. Last time we had this conversation, the World Series MVP, Corey Seager, I asked you what his playlist is, and you said country music. He likes country music. Did he continue to follow with that same format? And if so, what did you have in there for him, if you can call the artist?
Yeah, his song is The Way I Talk by the guy's name is Jim Whalum, and he's always country. And I'm going to be honest with you. Corey, to me, it's Morgan Whalen, The Way I Talk by Morgan Whalen. Corey, to me, was the actual glue of this team, because I was watching Corey all season long, and I was telling people, I was like, yeah, we're good, but Corey is really back on target. And I want to say that I watched every one of Corey's at-bats in the week. Just see his swing and his attitude, and I really believe that this season helped him. Corey doesn't like to do a lot of interviews. I think it actually helped him, the different not having that much media around and different things. Not saying he can't perform when there is media around, but I think it really gave him, put him at a spot where he was at ease and there wasn't that many obligations, which is really why I think he quietly balled harder than anybody this year, which is why I kind of knew – even before, I knew he was going to be the MVP, because I could just see the way he was swinging and his fielding and just how focused he was, and I just saw that from afar. And we had no conversations this year at all. I didn't get any changes from Corey other than through PR. But when I do see Corey, me and Corey have great conversations. Corey's the first one to walk up to me and give me a hug. Corey's one of my favorite players.
Yeah, he definitely balled out in this series. And this whole postseason run, he definitely did his thing with music. I want to get back to Mookie for a moment. You mentioned that Mookie has those southern roots growing up in Tennessee. What you mentioned about Corey's song, The Way I Talk by Morgan Whalen. What about Mookie? What is his song?
So Mookie has a song by this guy, Ernest Kay, and it's called I Love My City. And this song we had to find on YouTube. I can't find this artist, but I don't know if this track was made for him. I'm not sure. I know he had it in Boston. Now, what he did go was with a hip-hop song called Walk Me Down as his second by MLE Choppa. And he stuck with those pretty much throughout the year, no changes. And with this being my first year with Mookie, I didn't know what his music flow was going to be like, because some people change throughout the years, throughout the season, over and over and over and over again. So I know my players that are about to change. Like Kike changes a lot. Jock Peterson changes a lot. Matt Kent used to change a lot when he was here. I'd sit in his locker room for hours. We'd talk about different music. He was showing me 4 and 5 songs. So I'm not sure if Mookie just stuck with that song, with those two songs for this year, or if he changes or not. So I have to really sit down and have a conversation with him and see if he switches a lot or not, because it seemed like he just picks songs and he stays with them. I didn't hear any changes. No adjustments or anything. He pretty much stuck with what it was.
All right, rightfully so. And speaking of adjustments, and of course, with music is always celebrations. Do the Dodgers have anything planned in terms maybe of, well, we know there aren't any parades or any type of celebrations going on anytime soon due to protocols and things of that nature. Will there be a virtual celebration for the Dodgers in the near future?
It's pretty hush-hush right now. I haven't heard anything yet. What we did do yesterday was we were all allowed to go take pictures with the trophy. So we did like a drive-up celebration where we drove up, got out of our cars, and we took pictures with the trophy. They've been really gracious with us and giving us gear and championship gear and kudos from the management this year on the great job that we did. So I'm sure it all depends on how this situation that we're all in goes and how it plays out. But I know they want to have some sort of celebration, whether it be virtual. We did a lot of virtual celebrations with fans, bringing them on in the stadium as to try to keep them part of it. And the Dodgers do a great job of taking care of their fans, and I know they feel the energy that's out there with the people that the fans that are so relieved that we got it done. So I'm sure they're going to plan something. I just think they want to get past most of the MLB protocols and then see what and when we can do something.
All right, fair enough. So now that the Dodgers have handled their business in this wacky 2020 season, they're no longer the hunter. They're now the hunted. Now, what's your outlook for the Dodgers in 2021?
You know, I was thinking about that. I think we're built for the run for at least another 6-7 years. I know we have some free agents like Kike, Justin Turner. We're gonna have to figure out what we're gonna do with Kenley. We have a lot of adjustments to make, but we do have a great core with having two MVPs like Mookie and Cody. Mookie's around for the next 12 years, so that's excitement for the fans. We're going to have to wait and see because with Mookie, Cody, Corey, that core, and Will Smith, our young pitching staff, we're going to see how what the integral parts with the older guys like Kersh, who I'm glad he got his championship. We'll see where everybody else fits in. Hopefully we retain pretty much everybody because I can't think of anybody that I would like to replace them with, but I know it all does come down to financials and situations. I would hate to see Kike go to another team because Kike is a starter on any other team, I believe. He's one of the most athletic players on the team, and he brings a lot of energy, charisma to the team. So I would hope that he stays, as well as Justin Turner, who does so much in the community and is such an ambassador. To not have them back would be a definite loss to the team. So I'm hoping we figure out a way to retain everybody. But I definitely feel we have another two championships in us. But it's baseball. Anything can happen, and it changes on a dime. So we're looking good on paper, but who knows once the season comes back around.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you never know in the world of professional sports, things could definitely happen. And before we let you go, DJ Severe, I got to ask you a lighthearted question. First of all, I want to ask you, number one, were concession stands open at Dodger Stadium? And if so, did you have a Dodger dog?
Actually, no. Because of the COVID rules, we actually put in these new gourmet kind of vending machines. And so we kind of had to eat. That there was no Dodger dogs anywhere in sight, which I can tell you over the years, I've had my share and I've actually had backed off away from them. But to miss that smell in the stadium, that was a definite miss in the stadium, not to be able to smell those hot buns and those Dodger dogs cooking. So that was missed, definitely. And I probably will have my fair share once we get back to the regular season this year.
What were in those gourmet vending machines?
So we had tuna sandwiches, chicken salad sandwich. We even had kombucha. We had like yogurt. It was a definite change, and you had to walk up, swipe your card. There was breakfast burritos. It was just an all around for whatever hour. Situation for a concession. Salads, it was a different vibe, I can tell you that.
All right, now quickly, Severe, for the listeners out there, for those that aren't familiar, the ingredients on a Dodger dog, can you just explain to them what type of frank that they use and what toppings consist of a Dodger dog?
Yes, I can definitely tell you that. So what we like to do at the stadium is, first off, it's an all-beef, 100% Farmer John, long Dodger dog, and it's 100% beef. The buns are always warm, and the best topping that I like to have is just some of that delicious green relish and a little bit of mustard, and that's what sets it off. But it's 100% all beef Farmer John. Nothing smells like it, nothing tastes like it, and you got to have, when you come to the stadium, at least three at minimum. That's the recipe.
Oh, wow. Okay, fair enough. Well, again, DJ Severe, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So tell everybody where they can find you on social media, and if you have a website, let them know that as well.
Yes, best place to find me is on my IG at TheRealDJSevere and my Twitter at DJSevere. I'm very interactive. I keep my mixes going. I do lives on a regular basis. I'm involved with the community. You can keep in tap with the Dodgers and what they're doing with the community. But at my IG, The Real DJ Severe, and Twitter is DJ Severe. I appreciate you guys.
You heard it from him. He's DJ Severe. He is the official DJ for the Los Angeles Dodgers, giving his take on the 2020 Dodgers season and the World Series run and other things he's got going. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
My pleasure. I'll be back on soon. I appreciate you guys always.
No problem. Thanks again. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ed Robinson. Remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. And we'll leave you with some audio courtesy of Fox Sports and Major League Baseball, the Dodgers winning the 2020 World Series. So long, everyone.
One of these teams will have won a great World Series. Strike one on Willie Adames. I don't think I've ever done a Major League Baseball game and not thought of my dad, but it's impossible to not think of the 92-year-old Vin Scully, the greatest to ever do it. Started with the Dodgers in 1950, retired 4 years ago. That is strike two. 67 years of his life he poured into the Dodger organization, and you know he's watching and rooting. Ownership, Andrew Friedman, Dave Roberts. That's it. Strike three. Dodgers have won it all.